The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph, too, went up from Galilee to the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region, living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I proclaim to you the good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The Gospel of the Lord. It's a shame y'all can't be up here and see what I see here. You are amazing. I want to begin my homily tonight with a verse of an Advent song, one that always touches me during the season of Advent and gives a beautiful image of what is now happening. It's called "People Look East." And the third verse says, "Birds, though you long have ceased to build, guard the nest that must be filled. Even the hour when wings are frozen, God for fledging time has chosen. People look east and sing today. Love the bird is on the way." I didn't even understand this until 2 years ago when our music director, David Mathers, told me how these birds do this thing. Once a bird gets to a certain age, they actually kick the bird out of the nest. And either they fly or they kind of drop to the ground and then they start to develop their own independence. So that's what I love about this. It says, even though wings are frozen and all the birds have stopped building nests, God has chosen this time for fledging. I think the words come too fast sometimes and we don't know what they're saying. But even when wings are frozen and we cannot fly, God is gently, knowingly nudging Jesus, his son, the fledgling, out of the nest to fall to earth and go to work. Love the bird is on the way. Well, the Word became flesh so that we might become the Word, that we might become the very same Word that gave birth to the universe. God speaks his Word throughout eternity. It is his expression of love to share himself with anyone who will listen. The Word of God begotten is his Son. To listen to any other voice introduces division between us. Literally, division has been happening since Adam and Eve in the garden, who forgot their humbleness, their helplessness, their total dependence on God and his goodness. Suddenly, the writer of Genesis says, division came between God and them, and they went into hiding. Individualism began. We go into hiding in ourselves so much so that sometimes we can't find ourselves anymore. But in the fullness of time today, the Son, the new Adam, comes to find us even where we are hiding inside ourselves by becoming us. He becomes our humbleness, our helplessness, our total dependence. And what is more perfectly that than a baby? God's word of love calls us to be the creation that God intended us to be from the beginning of the world. But for his word to bear fruit, we must speak the word that is spoken to us. Pope Francis constantly speaks about the relationship of friends. There must be one who speaks and one who listens. A sharing in love, a dialogue. Made in God's image, we are persons made to be in relationship. God's self is three persons in relationship, a community of love. Francis explains that regardless of religious practice, humanity exists on a most fundamental level as brothers and sisters, sharing one nature and owing reverence to one another. We speak and form relationships with those who listen. We need to speak, we need to listen, and we need to be heard. Otherwise, we are just individuals lost inside ourselves, alienated and lost in that place where all of the truly awful things that we see happening in our world every day become possible. A community is not a collection of individuals who say whatever they want without regard to anyone. We call that the internet. So the Word became man so that we might speak the Word of God. The mystery now goes deeper. The Son of God became a human person to reveal our true humanity to us. We had forgotten even who we are as persons. He became a person so that we might know how to be persons in right relationship. The relationship is what defines persons. You can't be a friend without a friend, or a parent without a child, or a husband without a wife, or a sister without a brother or sister. What does that person look like? According to Jesus' own words in the Sermon on the Mount, that person looks blessed. That person looks holy. For their poverty of spirit, their humility, those who go about their lives embracing what it is to be human in a relationship, meekness, mourning, hungering for righteousness and justice, merciful, pure in heart, makers of peace. According to his example, that person tells the truth, helps others know the path to God, heals, and brings others to life. In other words, that person loves. The world has waited ever since that first moment of original sin, the individualism of Adam and Eve, for the individual to be reconnected by God's gracious love to the community of God. This new moment is the bridge of Jesus' humanity, his body between God and us. So the Word became flesh for a reason. By becoming flesh and offering himself in our humanity back to the Father, Jesus gives us the Eucharist by which we become his body and we offer ourselves with him. It is this bridge that we celebrate tonight. The divine and human person of his Son stands in the plan of God before all was made. It rests tonight in a manger in a cave in Bethlehem, as well as on this altar. Obviously, this is the Mass, and why it matters. It is why we are here, because at this Mass, the saving plan of God is both revealed and realized. It is the ultimate consummation of the communion of saints in eternity who have yoked themselves to God's word, the way, the truth, and the life. God has done his work of the incarnation, and now he asks us to receive it and proclaim it with our lives. It flows from our hearts. It warms our cold world. It heals the infinite divisions of our times. It makes the load easy and the burden light. Isn't this what the world is seeking, even if they don't know it right now? It happens in the solitude of Christmas night, so that we make it known with the sunrise. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is a particularly rich image. We look at his poverty, his public life, his rejection, his ultimate passion and death, his experience of utter abandonment from the Father on the cross. This experience of his relationship with the Father is his ultimate experience of depersonalization alone. The person faces the loss of his own identity in losing the relationship when he says, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Even as he is born into this cold night in Bethlehem without a place to stay, we wonder how in the world Jesus could describe any of this as easy or light. In the mystery of this dark night, the yoke he puts on is our humanity, our yoke, so that we are never alone. Listen, especially if you are in a time of heavy burden or suffering or loneliness, because this is important. This is the good news. A yoke exists so that oxen can work together to plow the field. It keeps them together, all sharing the same load. He puts it on himself now. He is pulling, asking us to join him on this path, to be in the presence of the Lord and to do his work. If we can let go of ourselves a little, is pure joy. It is to know love first for him and also for each other. This is the amazing thing, that God, who is mighty and everlasting, who created all things and constantly begets his word, his son, the perfect truth, who we could never dare to consider our equal, has today become our brother and is born into our family. The relationship with God is born. In Jesus, we know God and we know ourselves and we know love.